so much for this wonderful day. We pray your blessing upon our children's teachers, Lord, this morning, and upon the message today. Lord, as we go into the season and all the busyness, Lord, the work schedules, the shifts, trying to find that perfect present, all these kind of things, the obligations too as well, help us, Lord, to not lose any joy, but Lord, to be filled with joy, to be lights, Lord, in all this thing, all these things that are happening, Lord, help us to reach out to those that are struggling, to those that are in need, to love them, Lord, with that same love that you have for us. We pray your anointing upon our time to study as we enter this new series for the Christmas season, Lord, that we would appreciate even more what you are doing, Lord, and that everything is in your hands. All things are under your control, Lord God, and we trust you. Pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, have your Bibles with you. You can open up to Isaiah chapter 7. We're looking at verses 1 through 17. I apologize, the font might be a little small up here. Again, I really want to encourage you. The Bible is free to download on your phone or to have a Bible with you. You guys remember this message? Getting this on your phone? Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. You guys remember that? Yeah, happened this year. Crazy, right? For 38 minutes, all that we knew was that this is it. And so people were saying goodbye to each other. I love you. People were trying to find shelter. Somebody was sticking their kids down a manhole, which I don't know if that would work or not. I personally would find a less smelly place to hide, but that's just me. But we look at something like that, and I don't know what your reaction was. Tammy and I, we got these alerts and just looked at each other and said, well, okay, this has been fun. I'll see you in a minute. You know, because we have the Lord, amen? So we're not really all worried. We're not panicking. We're not thinking, oh, this isn't this, because this isn't it. This is just our earthly phase of life. We know that we have eternity. We're going to be with the Lord forever. And so we're not worried about that. But as I begin thinking and meditating upon that issue, you know, things can be over that quick, and it really shows you what's important in your life. It really kind of reveals some things. And is it a real threat? Could we get attacked by a missile? Well, sure. I mean, isn't that what they're talking about now? Right? G20 summit, they're talking about, Russia, you know, has missiles, and China has missiles, and everybody's all playing nice, but then they're talking about this nuclear proliferation treaty. So, I mean, it's a real thing. It's a real threat. But we don't have to live in fear. And we're not the only ones that face this kind of threat. In the kingdom of Judah, they were facing a threat. Now, what is Judah? Judah basically was the southern kingdom. There were two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and they split off from the 12 tribes of Israel. The other 10 were up in the north. And Samaria was the capital, okay? So when we say Israel, when I talk about Israel today, it's the 10 tribes up in the north. And then Judah was in the south with Benjamin, but was known as the kingdom of Judah. And they would war with each other. So not only was Israel split apart, not only was Israel a nation divided, but they would war with each other. And so the northern tribes, the biggest tribe was Ephraim, and you'll see Ephraim or you'll see Israel in the Bible, but Ephraim is a big tribe of Israel, and with continuity there, it pretty much would include all the northern tribes. But they allied themselves with Syria. You know the Syria we have today? It's a very, very old country. Okay. So way back then, you know, before they had chemical weapons and Assad and all that, way back then, they were a power, and they were allied with Israel against the southern tribes of Israel called the Kingdom of Judah. And so we enter into Isaiah in this time of the prophet, and he's being told to go to the king and to kind of encourage him that, you know what, it's going to be okay. And this is what happens. This is the conversation. This is narrative, so it's a little bit longer, and we're in the Old Testament. It says this, in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount an attack against it. When the house of David was told, Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as trees of the forest shake before the wind. You ever feel like that? Like you just been hit with some news from the doctor, or you just been hit with some news of something really bad news, and someone can just push you over with a finger, and your strength just leaves your body, right? That's how these people felt. And the Lord said to Isaiah, go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shur-Jashub, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pole on the highway to Washer's Field. They washed their clothes out there in the open, okay? So, you know, they didn't have washing machines like we do now. And say to him, be careful, be quiet, do not fear. Underline that, or circle it, or highlight it. Be careful, be quiet, do not fear. And do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah, has devised evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord God. So don't worry about this conspiracy that they're going to attack you and they're going to set up a different king and they're going to take you over and they're going to conquer you. God's saying, don't worry. And this is what he says. It shall not stand. It shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria. Samaria is the capital of the northern tribes. And the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. Underline that, highlight that, circle it, whatever, notate, that's the next one. So what is he saying? Hey, in 65 years, these guys are going to be gone. That's pretty specific, right? Yeah, a lot more specific than Nostradamus ever was, okay? Nostradamus has nothing on Bible prediction. In 65 years, you want to know what happened? Assyria destroyed Israel, took all the 10 tribes. We call them the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Okay? We don't know where they went. Because the Assyrians, not the Syrians, the Assyrians would take people from this town and put them over here in this town, take people from this country or whatever, put them over here. And so they scattered them all over the place. So the tribes could never gather together, never collect. So they just got assimilated into the Assyrian people. So the only people in Israel we have, the Jews we have, are literally those from the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. That's the only ones that exist today that we're aware of. But notice this. And here's the Christmas part of it. Verse 10, and the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord, your God. Let it be deep as Sheol, that's the place of the dead, or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. Oh, really? I mean, don't you love these false religious guys? Ahaz and all his religiosity. Oh, no, I wouldn't test the Lord. Ahaz was an evil dude. This guy was not, he didn't have a religious bone. He had a religious bone. He didn't have a godly bone in his body, believe me. He says, I'm not going to test the Lord. And this is what Isaiah says. And he said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. the Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. And basically, the king of Assyria is going to be the one that attacks. Now, we'll get to the Christmas part of it in a minute, but that's a very popular prophecy. And a lot of these prophecies, they have two meanings, and so we're going to look at how this kind of relates. But the first thing I want you to notice, remember I told you to circle or highlight things. The first one I want you to notice is be careful, be quiet, and do not fear. That's a good word, isn't it? Now notice he doesn't just skip to don't fear. And to me, when I study the Bible, and I'm looking and doing my own Bible study, when you guys do this at home, because I don't want you just to come listen to me. I want you to come to be equipped. My job is to equip you that you can do this on your own, that you can be built up, and you can go out and encourage other people. So when you go home, when you study something like this, especially narrative, a story in the Old Testament, I want you to think, okay, what is sticking out? Wow, that's a pretty powerful, that's an encouraging statement, or that's a warning, and you highlight those, you circle those things, and because those are really important. So he says this, be careful, be quiet, do not fear. The people were frightened because, you know, they're going to get attacked, right? They're like trees. You see the trees blowing in the wind? I don't see any wind right now. Nothing's blowing. But when it does, right, it's just swaying this way. I mean, they're not controlled. I mean, those trees aren't in control. They can be just blown this way, blown that way. I don't know if you've ever felt like that in your life. I've been through times like that, experiences. But God speaks through the prophet Isaiah. And even though Ahaz was an evil king leading his people into idolatry, let me tell you about why this is so shocking, because I was actually, believe it or not, guys, I don't always do this, but when I was studying this word, it wasn't really a benign experience. I was reading about Ahaz, I was getting mad. I was reading, going, Ahaz, oh, Ahaz did this. Ooh. Oh, Ahaz did that. Ahaz took his own sons, his own children, babies, and put them in the fires of Molech and burned them alive. He sacrificed his kids. And I'm getting mad, you know, and I'm reading. And then he took all the implements of the temple and he broke them apart and he kind of sold them, basically tried to bribe Assyria. And I'm getting mad. I'm going, man, this guy's a jerk. Oh, I'm studying the Bible. It's like, Lord, I'm sorry, this guy's a jerk. What is going on? This guy's evil, right? Wow. Take his own kids and put them in the fire. Man, this is an evil dude. And yet, even though he's an evil king, get this, gang. Because people say the God of the Old Testament. Don't you hear the God of the Old Testament? Oh, the God of the Old Testament, he's so evil. He's evil. He's bad. Jesus is good and loving. We all love Jesus. Oh, we love Jesus. And Old Testament God, bad, evil. No, it's the same God. Jesus is the one who made you and made me. So you read this, and when I read this, you know what I see? I see mercy. I see grace. Because God could just look at Ahaz and go, I don't like this guy. And just God could just speak something, and Ahaz would cease to exist. He was just molecules, just be some sci-fi thing. He would just blow away in the wind. I mean, God can just totally get rid of Ahaz. But what? He says, send the prophet Isaiah to him. Oh, you know what? I'm going to have mercy on you. I'm going to save you. Wow. Think about that for a minute. Think about our attitude towards people that we don't like, right? Because we love everybody, right? I mean, we don't have any problems with anybody. But think about that. Think about his mercy. And when we're tempted to just go, man, I can't. No, these people can never be saved, right? But think about that. How merciful God is. How gracious he is. And that he sees everything. He sees things we don't see. Amen? And I look at that and I go, wow, God, you are so loving. Because, man, if I was in your place, I mean, I would have hammered Ahaz flat. I would have been like, you are done, right? Thank God I'm not God, because I would mess that up real bad. And so the next thing he says what? Be careful, be careful. Not only So he says, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, be careful. How many of you guys know when you're afraid? You guys ever jump at shadows? You ever think you see something? What was that? You ever have your dog or your cat, like, they're focused and they're looking at something, and you're going, what do you see? My cat was all, like, focused on something. I was, like, going, boy, is there a tarantula in here? I mean, what's going on? I don't see what they're seeing. But, you know, you can get afraid of things maybe that aren't there. And you know what? When we're afraid, we can do dumb things. Amen? We can do dumb things. When we're in fear, I mean, it depends upon what your fear level is. Like, if it's a 10, 10, you're like, ah, you know, it's like you can just run into a wall and knock yourself out. I mean, you know, but maybe if it's even at a 7 or 8, maybe it's like you're just, you know, I'm going to sell everything I own and hide in the hole. You know what I'm saying? Fear will make you do foolish things and make you rush and be hasty in the things that you say to other people, right? If you're trying to preserve yourself, you're trying to save your life, you ally yourself and make deals with people you shouldn't make, right? If you're like, well, who cares? I'm going to die anyway. Then you go ahead and make dumb decisions. You've seen people do that, right? Well, you know, I'm going to die anyway, so I quit my job and I don't like you, I don't like you, I don't like you. And then, what? I don't have cancer? Uh-oh. Right? I mean, I'm just saying. What's he saying? Be careful. Be careful. When you have a threat against you or you feel a threat against you, don't be so hasty. Don't be so quick to make a decision. Right? Because remember, God always sees more than we see. We see a little tiny bit of the picture. He sees the whole thing. So be careful. Then he says what? Be quiet. Be quiet. You guys, when you get nervous, do you talk a lot? Like, you fill the air, and you don't know what to say. Well, I don't know what to say. Be quiet. Sometimes when we don't feel good, we want noise, or we want to be doing something. We just want to be preoccupied, and so we don't feel, right, the pain. We don't have to deal with those things that are hurting us on the inside or that are making us afraid. But you see, when we're quiet, something happens. When we quiet not just our mouth, but our minds, we quiet our minds, turn off the TV, right? We shut off the games. We're alone with ourselves. We can begin to hear God. Now, it's good to, now, when you get quiet, I recommend reading the Word. You read the Word. It's amazing how not only will you read something you've read before, but when you read it, it's like God is talking directly to you. Like, this is the first time he's saying this, and he's using your name. He's going, Dave, all things work together for the good of those who love me. You know this, right? I'm like, oh, he personalizes that. See, that's the Holy Spirit. So God has his word written down, but the Holy Spirit uses that word and brings it to your heart, and he ministers, right? And he comforts you. But see, we have to quiet our minds. We have to quiet our hearts. Be careful. Don't rush to judgment. Don't rush to make a decision you're going to regret. I know you're afraid, but be careful. Be quiet. Be quiet. Hear my voice, right? Hear my voice. And then he says, do not fear. Fear is the enemy of faith. Amen? I mean, you know, it preoccupies our minds. It can immobilize us from making a decision, from thinking clearly. It's a time waster. I mean, I don't know if I shared this with you guys before. Maybe I have, but I tend to be a little sarcastic. And sometimes I'm sarcastic with myself. If I've wasted time worrying, I'll let go. Hey, that's awesome, Dave. You just wasted so much time. That was a lot that you just added to your life, wasting time worrying about something that may never happen. But don't we do that? Most of the things that you worry about, this is the fact, 90% of the things you worry about will never happen. Right? They'll never happen. And so there's nothing productive about it, but we can't help ourselves because we got to think. But the thing is, if we can fill that time with prayer, see, prayer is something because when we pray, there's something positive going on. We're not just preoccupied with our own thoughts. We're seeking the Lord. We're seeking Him. We're seeking His help. But He says, don't fear. I got this, right? God's got this. But what was Ahaz's response? I got this, God. You ever been carrying books? You know, have you ever, like, carried a bunch of books or carried a bunch of groceries or something, and you're walking, and you have stairs, right? And you got to walk up those stairs, and someone said, hey, do you need some help? Oh, no, I got this. Uh-huh. And then, I don't know, I tend to be a little bit clumsy. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. You might have. If those of you who know me, you're laughing because, oh, yeah, we've seen that, Dave. So, I mean, I've done that, or I'm not going to go, I got this, because I know I'm going to trip, and things are going to go all over. Case in point, yesterday, so, you know, I come home, was it yesterday or the day before, but I bought a Christmas wreath, and I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll put it on our table, and Tammy had put a ceramic manger scene on the table. And it was in a circle, and I think it had candle holders. And I was trying to kind of gently put the wreath, see if it would fit around it, you know? So brilliant, right? You know, I'm a little klutzy and a little impatient. So rather than put that aside, I could do it. I could fit it. I was a total guy, right? Total guy thing. I could make it fit. So I bump it, and there's Joseph, Gabriel, Mary, and the baby Jesus. Well, Mary goes sliding off of the table onto the floor, and her head breaks off. Oh, man. I just decapitated Mary, the mother of Jesus. Oh, this is not good. And then Tammy's right there. She goes, hon. And I'm like going, I'm thinking, please don't let her be a family heirloom. Please don't let her be a family heirloom. Please don't. Where did you get this, hon? Oh, I just bought it. Well, you know, maybe I can super glue Mary's head on. I got this. So, have I done it yet? No. I'll get there. But for right now, we have Gabriel, Joseph, the baby Jesus, headless Mary. More like a Halloween nativity. And then we have Mary's head just sitting there on the next spot. And I was thinking, you know, there's a sermon point in all this. How we can easily fix a lot of things in this life, but there are some things that we just can't fix. There's some things we don't got, that we don't have. And it requires faith. And notice that's the next thing he says. He says, be firm in your faith, right? God's saying, hey, 65 years, Ephraim, Israel, depending upon what translation you use, these guys won't exist. God's willing to protect Ahaz and the kingdom of Judah, but it's conditional. He says, you got to have faith. But hey, if you think you got this one, well, you know what? This isn't going to happen for you. If you're not going to have faith, notice what God is saying here. I will do this for you. I'm already in motion. Things are in motion. This word that I give to you will come true. Like if God's given you a word, maybe from somebody, a prophetic word, or maybe he's got a promise in the Bible, you know, there's something that he wants to work out, but you got to have faith. Amen? We got to believe. We got to have faith in God. But he didn't stand firm in his faith. Do you know what happened? He didn't even ask God for a sign. Not only that, but he didn't stand firm in his faith. And so what happened? Did God protect Judah? No. 200,000 people died. People were taken captive. Judah was attacked. And eventually, Judah was taken off in Babylon. And we'll talk about that in a minute, because this is the thing that we got to understand, that God has a plan for our lives, but that's conditional upon us cooperating. Amen? We got to cooperate with him. I think about standing strong. Now, I talked about the trees like palm trees, right? They just sway in the wind. But do you know one tree that gets stronger during a storm is an oak tree? When a hurricane hits or when a storm hits and it blows against an oak tree, what happens is it begins to grow its roots further into the ground. And it becomes really stable. It becomes really solid. Oak is a really hard wood. If you've ever tried to cut through oak with a not-so-great power tool or something, it's very hard to cut through it. You know, I recommend Makita, I'm just saying. But the thing about that oak tree is it will go strong, and it could be 100, 200 years old. And the thing about us is when we go through the storms of life, when we encounter that fear, if we stand firm in our faith, God will grow our roots. I mean, our roots will grow deep, deep, deep into him, and we will take up nourishment from the Spirit of God. See, and it even says in the Word to be rooted in him, to be rooted in Christ, that we can grow up. Jesus said, what? John 15, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me. It means remain in me, right? I mean, nobody is ever going to witness a grape go, I'm out of here. And all of a sudden that grape and that little twig breaks off from the vine and goes walking down the street. That's just a totally, if I saw that, I'd be checking myself in to Kahi or someplace, because I'd be like, okay, that's not right. But that's not what happens. It's natural to remain in the vine. We are to remain in Christ, to be with him. It's not a hard thing. It's not a hard thing. It's a natural thing. It's children of God to say, Lord, we're with you. As we remain in him, we become strong in him. So stand firm in your faith. You can trust God. Now, God has a plan for our life. Yeah? God is great, and he has a plan for your life if you are willing. If you are willing. Okay. Let me tell you something that you might not be aware of. Did you know prophecies in the Bible, some are conditional? There are conditional and unconditional. There are some prophecies that are conditional upon our cooperating with God, and there are other prophecies that are locked in. They're just going to happen no matter what we do, because God's large and in charge. So, for us, God has a plan for life. So, like Ahaz, the plan for his life was, hey, you know what? You trust in me. You turn to me. I know you sacrificed your sons. I know you've done evil things. But if you would turn to me, if you would repent of your sins, if you would turn to me and you would trust me, I will save you and I will save your people. And Ahaz goes, oh, that's okay. Wow. And that, no, that's okay. Got 200,000 people killed. You go to 2 Chronicles, go into Kings, you could read about that. Sad. Sad. God may have a plan for your life. And he's saying, you know what? I want to use you. I want you to minister to people. Or I want you to evangelize. Or I want you to preach. Or maybe it's, you know, I just want you to go pray over people. You know, pray for the homeless. Or feed people. Or I want you to take my message to those that you work with. And he's speaking, whatever he's speaking to your heart, and you have a decision, you can say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. I'm yours. I belong to you. Or we can be like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I love God. I believe in Jesus. But, yeah, I don't know. We can meander around and not really be engaged in his plan. You know, I can believe in God. The thing is, do I have faith that, you know, I can trust in him and he's going to work out a plan. He wants us to be part of his plan. God's got a grand plan, and he wants us to be part of it, but we can decide whether or not we want to be part of that plan. And, of course, there are consequences when we're not obedient to God. And that, of course, is a whole other message. But I really looked at this, and I thought, wow, man, he really blew it. But God, all he was asking is asking for a sign. Just believe. That's it. God's not going to ask you to do something that you're not gifted for. He's not going to ask you to do something that you would never want to do. You know, you might be hesitant a little bit, but he wants you to be his and to do his will. There are prophecies that are locked in, though, that are going to happen no matter what. You know, like Revelation. The Antichrist is going to come, right? Jesus is going to come and crush him. Jesus is going to return for us. Amen? That's locked in. That's going to happen. So whether I'm wishy-washy in my faith or not, whether I'm engaged in God's plan or not, doesn't matter in the larger scheme of things, because God's moving forward, and he's going to accomplish what he said he's going to accomplish, and we can count on it. Amen? And one of those locked-in prophecies is the one that he shares in the latter part of that verse. It says what? Behold, there will be a virgin, right? And it's interesting, in the Hebrew, some scholars will say, well, that word Alma there in the Hebrew, it actually can mean young woman. Yeah. But they leave out the fact that it's inferred that the young, unmarried woman is a virgin in that culture. Because if you were an Alma, you were probably a teenage girl, and guarantee you weren't fooling around, because you would get stoned. You hear that? And if they didn't do that, a lot of times the older women, they were, what, prostitutes. It was very strict in the culture. And so it's inferred. So if you ever read that, well, it might not have been a virgin. No. And so there's a sign here, that, and some believe that maybe this was a young girl that back then, that it might not have been the Virgin Mary of a miraculous birth like that, but it was a young woman that would get married and should have a child. We don't know if this was a future wife of the prophet Isaiah. We're not really sure about that. But this we do know, that Matthew quotes this scripture as that Jesus was the fulfillment. So this scripture is saying that, look, this is going to be a sign that I'm going to preserve the kingdom of Judah. 600 years from now, Isaiah is written in 586 BC. 600 years from now, a virgin will conceive a child, and his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Guess what happened 600 years later? Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Amen? And that's just one prophecy. One prophecy. You know how many there are of Jesus? Over 300. And this was written 600 years before your birth. You go, yeah, but they get a forged. No. Did you know there's an entire scroll of Isaiah, I believe it's in the Jerusalem Museum or in the British Museum, that we've dated, a copy dates back 200 BC. It's all there. And when you read Isaiah, it's like you're reading the New Testament and you're going, whoa. Oh, did he really do these things? Of course he did. We even have non-Christian historians who confirm that Jesus did these things, that he fulfilled some of these prophecies. Crazy, right? So this is locked in. This is going to happen. So we fast forward 600 years, and now here's Jesus being born. Or actually, Gabriel. Gabriel comes. He's an angel. He comes to Mary. Mary's a godly girl, godly young woman, and says, you're going to be with a child. Right? You're going to be the mother of our Savior. Whoa. And then Joseph gets wind. Joseph is betrothed. That means they were engaged. And Joseph finds out about it, and he quietly wants to divorce Mary, because he's thinking, oh my gosh, she's pregnant. They're going to kill her. oh my gosh. And it wasn't a guarantee that you got stoned, that you got killed. It wasn't a guarantee. But it was like, if it depended upon the law. But the thing is, at the very minimum, you were an outcast. And so he wants to quietly divorce her. And then Gabriel comes to Joseph and says, don't divorce her. She's going to be the mother of the Savior. His name is what? Emmanuel. God means God with us. Isn't that great? God's with us. Better than God against us, right? God's with us. And so Joseph is kind of faced there with the decision. Kind of like Ahaz. Where is he going to believe? I'm sure that Joseph had plans for his own life. You know what? Me and Mary, we're going to get a little cottage, a picket fence. I don't know if that, a picket fence. You know, we're going to have a nice family, a few kids. It's going to be really great. I'm going to teach them the ways of the Lord. Wait a minute, what? We're going to get married, but she's going to be pregnant before we have the wedding, and what? And imagine in that culture, I know today in this culture it's different, but imagine being back then and the whispers that Joseph would have to put up with. Oh, hey, right? Hey, Joseph, oh, yeah, you know what I heard? Wow, you still staying with her, huh? Right? Probably even after Jesus was born, growing up, all the whispering, right, going on in the town. That's real. And Joseph had a wrench thrown into his plans. Sometimes God's plans aren't always comfortable. Sometimes they're not always going to be the way we think that they should be. But you know what? I'm sure he got to see Jesus grow up. We don't know when Joseph was out of the picture. But what an honor it must have been. And that's all I would need to know. Well, I had an angel appear to me, so you can say whatever you want. So, you know, this is what God said through his servant. You see, we can have worldly wisdom or we can trust in God. We can believe in the ways of the world or we can believe in God. We can think, oh, I got this, or we can think, no, God, you have it and I'm yours. And this is a favorite verse I kind of want to leave with you today. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Isn't that awesome? Say it, get an amen. I love this verse because, you know, when I was going through hard things, how many of you guys know that you know, you can have something like, you know, a loved one is sick or you got an illness or finances or job. But how many of you guys know that there can be something wrong and you have no idea what it is? You just feel it. There's something wrong and you can't put your finger on it. You have no idea what it is. It's this feeling. And all you can do is just go to God and go, God, I don't understand why I feel the way I feel. I've been there. It's not fun. But this verse brought me a lot of encouragement. Lord said what? To trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't think don't lean on just worldly understanding. Everything I do, just acknowledge God. And then he makes my path straight. You know, it's so awesome to have a straight path, isn't it? You guys ever go hiking and then someone wants to take a shortcut? I know a quicker way. Come on. You know, it's one thing when you're in a car. It's a whole other thing when you're hiking, right? Like, you know, this is a shortcut. And you're like going, okay, the shortcut is getting, oh, okay, oh, that's mud. Oh, there's, oh, that was nice, you know. Oh, what's this? Oh, don't fall over here. Oh, be sure not to fall. Step over there. And you know, you're going down this short, so-called shorter path, but there's a lot of obstacles in the way. There's a lot of opportunities to fall on your face, right? But see, God makes the path narrow and straight. He says, here it is. I mean, when you go with God, it's kind of like he just paves it over. And he puts a sign out there with the arrow, and he says, that way. You don't have to figure out, am I going the right way? Hey, these trees aren't tagged. You know the little red tags? I've seen people get lost. I've been up hiking, and I kind of know my way around, but I've seen people get lost where all of a sudden they have to bring a helicopter in, and I'm going, oh, boy. But God is awesome that he will show us the way. And it might be something that we haven't even thought of, and that's a beautiful thing about him. Amen? And that's what I would just leave you with today. You're never alone. Jesus, his name, he has many names, Wonderful Counselor, but his name here is Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. God is with you. And you can bank on that. You can trust in that. He will never leave you, never forsake you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're feeling, whether it's something you can see and identify or not, he knows. And that's better than anything else because you know what? He has knowledge of everything you're going through. You can say, oh man, people don't know what I'm going through. God knows exactly what you're going through. And he will carry you through it. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We bless your name. And we thank you that you are a merciful and a gracious, a loving and a giving God. And I pray, Lord, as we go into the season, that we can just find our comfort in you, find our strength in you. That if things have become a little murky, if things have become, our paths have become a little crooked, and we're not sure, that we would learn to trust in you, to stand firm in our faith, Lord. That we would be careful, be quiet, Lord. We'd not fear the enemy. We'd not fear any plans against us, God. Because truly, you are for us. And we just pray, Lord, as we go from this place, that we would have that faith in us, the strength in our hearts, the trust in you. That no matter what faces us tomorrow, you are with us today and every day. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, God bless you guys. You have a great week.